It feels like the biggest late ad, maybe in Bonnaroo history. I hearken it back to Jimmy Buffett.
It feels like a throwaway. Like, it's like, where did this come from? And I mean,
welcome to the What Podcast. Which bands this year that matter? I'm Brad. That's Barius. Lord Taco. Guys, did we invite Brian?
I just jailed.
Why is Brian here?
Into the portal.
Is everything okay? Something is off. I don't know why Brian is in his grandfather's kill room. What is that?
Grandfather's kill room.
Do you have a cigar ready to go? Do you have a corncob pipe? What are you doing in that room? What year do you live in?
Snifter.
1955 is when this room was built.
Thank you. Okay, Doc Brown. Got it.
The Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch panel.
Does Barry's shirt say Biggin?
Biggie.
Oh, my man.
Oh, my God.
I love how Barry is so street all of a sudden. What in the hell's happened last year?
How you living?
Great.
Yeah, I know.
Great. I'm living great.
Yeah, no, I think I made a joke.
Barry made a joke.
I made a
and he
joke.
Can't remember it.
Grace.
It's that infrequent.
No.
You got to go back to 1955.
Grace sent a,
it's somewhere Grace in that room with Brian.
Grace sent a text that the baby had blown out its diaper, and I said, I love it when you call me Big Poopy, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, that's kind of cute. That is kind of cute.
My friend found this T-shirt like that next day at a yard sale and got it for me. So
that's really cute. When you
call me Big Poopy.
Yeah. It's adorable.
It's great to see you, Brad. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I need to start by...
Speaking of Big Poopy.
I really have to apologize. Barry, Russ, Lord Taco. There's no reason I should have left you with Brian. I'm so sorry. But I do understand why... You understand, Brian, why you got chosen, right? The reason why you got plucked out of obscurity to come on to the biggest podcast in the history of Music Festival podcasts.
I do not know what you're about to say, why that reason is. Go ahead,
because
Brad.
Barry's terrible with names, and he couldn't go past Burr.
That's right. I needed another B. I needed a BS.
The alliteration is important.
Yeah. He could not go any further with any other name. Do you try to give him a Connor? He's fucked. Yeah, he's not going to do it. Right. Never going to happen.
No, and obviously the other reason is Brian said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't think of anybody
else. Yeah. So. How's everybody? What? How's everybody doing?
Miss you something terrible.
Miss
you. How are you?
Miss you.
How's everything up in New York?
It's fine. I mean, it's miserable.
Well, hold on.
It's
hold
miserable.
On.
It's
up.
Very cold. It's like the seventh snowstorm of the year. It's a lot. What do you want?
Go ahead.
No,
Brian.
I was going to say New York. I mean, I've been up there with you a couple of times now.
Mm-hmm. I know. Guys, do you want to know something?
Awesome.
You know something crazy? I give I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I give Brian Stone so much credit. This dude is so much fun to vacation with. Like, he is the quintessential never say no. I could take him to quite literally anything, and I did. And he
true.
Never said no. I could not believe how good he was in this city. Miserable New Orleans, but fantastic here.
11 bars in one weekend, as a matter of
fact.
Yeah,
that's a short week.
A big box of sunshine.
I couldn't believe it.
Let's catch everybody up real quick. I'm as we've said, I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian. That's Brad.
Yeah.
Longtime listeners will know Brad and I started this show in 2018 because we were bored.
Yeah.
We thought it would be a good idea for about 3 months, and here we are.
Our first goal was to have no one listen.
Correct. That was your
that
goal.
That was my goal, yes. I wanted no one to listen.
Well, we accomplished that.
Yeah. The worst product with the worst name ever.
Uh-huh. I wanted
that no one can remember, uh-huh. No one understands, uh-huh. Unless you're a Bonnaroo fan. Uh-huh. And you did that, and you enlisted Lord Taco, uh-huh. Whose goal was to never be on camera.
That's right. That's right.
Who now gets more fan mail than any other human being, you know, in the history of podcasts.
Yeah, the Lord Taco part of the show was supposed to be a lot like Tom Green's guy that sat in the background and just laughed with coffee. And just nodded and grinned. And that was the whole purpose, yeah.
Yeah. That's my whole contribution.
That was it. That was
my
the start.
Favorite episodes. How many times, Russ, have we had like an interview with a band member and it goes an hour and at the end they're like, Russ, you were awesome. Because you missed a single word.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, let me cash a credit. I
mean, never said
yeah,
a word.
I'm just like a good luck charm.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I miss you guys a lot. It sucks to be back on the show that you got fired from. You know, it's
wait a minute.
You when you get, I had to pack my box. I had to get pushed. I got pushed out. But ever since I've been gone, I've had two interactions that were really interesting. I won't say who the head of the label was, but ran up to me and was like, "Oh my God, I hate the new guy." No, I'm kidding. No, he goes, I love the podcast. And I still listen to this day, and this is ahead of a record label. So, I mean, you guys are still, you know, crushing it. And then the other one that I had, and I'd be really sad if I didn't bring this up, but I, have become really strangely friends with Matt Pinfield, and you guys will know Matt Pinfield if you are any, if you're above the age of, you know, I don't know, 35, but he was so instrumental in us growing up and finding rock music on television. And we had dinner one night and I had not met him yet. And so he walks up to me and before he said anything, he's like, "Podcast! I love the podcast." And I couldn't believe like Matt Pinfield had cared or even know anything about my career. And so we started talking about it. And yeah, he's just such a lovely man. And he's in a battle for his life right now. I wish that I had prepared a little bit more, but you guys know me. Preparation. I'm not doing that. But he's got, he's in a coma and he's had a stroke and battling for his life. Shit. So I know that there is a link to help him and the family, and I'll share it with you guys later. But yeah, those are the two instances I've had since the show, and both of them very, I don't know. I was sort of stunned and impressed that it was looked at as fondly as it used to be. So congratulations, guys.
That's very cool. There's a couple of things we wanted to have. We haven't caught up with you in a while, so we wanted to have you on the show today. Definitely going to get your picks. As Brian has said, it's very difficult for either Brian or I to say anything nice about you.
There's not much.
And so I think that was it. I think I just did
it. Got it.
But the other thing is you've always been really good at sort of like going through the lineup and saying, don't miss this act. You know, these are the don't sleep ons. Mm-hmm. And so I want to get that from you today for sure. Just general thoughts.
Nobody cares. Stop it. Nobody cares about my picks.
Not true,
stop
Brad.
It.
The only reason you're here.
We've had people ask.
I do think that one thing that probably has gone forgotten is I probably owe an explanation as to why I left in the first place. We never really talked about it.
Well, look at that. Brad prepping for our show for us. Thank you, Brad. Wow.
I didn't say I prepped this.
I want to ask what you've been doing. I also want to ask what you've been doing.
Why did you quit the show, Brad?
Well, look.
Why'd you leave us? Why'd you break up with
us?
Was it Brian? Was it Ross?
God, you guys are just so pushy. I think that Brian knows this really, really well because for all the shit that we give Brian is a fantastic broadcaster and he's a very, very professional radio guy. Here he's doing this for a very long time. No, I'm serious. And he knows this better than anybody. To do this and to do this effectively, you got to have two things, a point of view and authenticity. And coming on every week, I wasn't being authentic and I just had lost a point of view. And if you keep faking it, the audience is going to know it. And I try to tell any talent that I work with this. I try to tell any, even musicians that come through my purview. If you don't have the authenticity, they're going to see right through you. And at some point, you look around and, you know, although I love Bonnaroo and it gave me some of the greatest moments of my life. It gave me some of the best friends in my life. I just couldn't bring myself to get past, yeah, I might come. And that was doing a disservice to you guys and the time that you spent on this show. It gives a disservice to the audience. And, you know, I just couldn't continue feeling like I was wasting everybody's time. And so and plus you guys want to do this. But not least, I don't have time anymore. And the time that I do have, the last thing I want to do is sign on to another Zoom. I probably spend 30 hours of my life on a Zoom. I can't 30 hours a week of my life. So those are the reasons. And I knew you guys are going to be fine, because the thing about Bonnaroo is that, you know, you guys are in driver's seat of, you know, not only being the biggest music podcast in the history of podcasting, but you have this ecosystem that's going to keep it alive forever. You're going to always have this fuel in the tank, because what Bonnaroo does is it creates the community that you guys get to tap into every week, and it just constantly pays you back in every way that anytime you put something into it, it's going to pay you back. And I felt it for year after year. I mean, 17 years deep, right, Barry? Are we 17 yep. or 16?
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, every time that you put something into the world, it's going to come back. And I didn't feel like I was putting enough into that world to get anything back. So,
well, I 100% appreciate that honesty. But to add to that, just to let people know, we came out of COVID. You moved to New Orleans
yeah.
for your job,
yeah.
and then you moved to New York, and so you missed 2 years because of COVID and then the rain.
And the 1 year I was coming. The 1 year I was on my way up, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, and so, no, I get it. I mean, we joke about, we did a podcast for 2 years about an event that never happened, and then you couldn't come for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
Well, I could. I mean, I listen.
You were going to come on and talk about something that you hadn't been to.
Yeah, I talk to Evan Bonnaroo about this all the time, right? I mean, this dude takes 10 days off of his job to come down to Tennessee, which I find to be, you know, I mean, pat him on the back, give him a round of applause to do that. I don't know where I'd find 10 days. I really don't. And in the 10 days that I would have, God, I love you, but I got to find something else to do. You know, I'm at a music festival. I don't mean to say this, but in New York, I've had 8 shows in 2 weeks.
It's every day.
Yeah. Brian was here for him. You know, Brian saw, like, this is just a nonstop thing if you choose to. And it became too much. And I just
ask you about that, Brad, real quick. I mean, I was up there for a total of 11 days over 2 years with you. And
I know. Oh, it's a long time.
A really long time.
Feels like 2 years
that.
Over 11 days.
Let me get through the goddamn question. So I was amazed with this city. I still am. I mean, what were your expectations going there from New Orleans via Chattanooga and to where they are 2 years from now? Like, it's every single night. It looks exhausting. And you said with the timing of needing to step away from the show, I mean, the work you're doing up there is pretty important stuff.
No,
it's
not.
In the radio industry, from a programming, it's not, you're not on the air going, hey, it's New York's hottest hits today. No, you're doing
it. I did that for six months. And
Seriously, talk about
your thoughts on New York from before you got there to where you are now.
Before you do that, again, seriously, your title, who you work for, and what it is you do. Because it is relevant.
I don't even know, guys. I mean, that's a
your grand poobah.
It's a regional programming thing, and I've got stations in Detroit, Miami, Richmond, Virginia, my hometown, and the New York one, and then some online properties as well. So
yeah, it's an all right gig, Brad. It's an all right.
Yeah,
gig.
They mean
okay
look
to be busy with.
Look, the
you're
company.
Not doing, you're not doing sports updates and
the company. The company Odyssey provides me
I-24.
The company and. Odyssey provides me a very comfortable life in the most expensive city in the world. Let's just be honest. So it's not a bad gig. And I say this to anybody, listen, I don't work on a roof for a living. So I'll take it. What's my expectations? I honestly didn't really know any. I didn't have expectations. I just wanted to come into this. And I used this line earlier to describe Brian. And I think that's why we connect so well. I had this really bad habit of never saying no. And if you don't in this city, it will kill you. there's just too much to say yes to. And it is, it, you know, it's been described, it's a carnival every single day if you decide to. So you got to be really careful about where you put your energy and how much you extend. But for me, it was the way that I thought about New Orleans was I'm getting paid for a 2-year vacation. I get to go to my favorite city in the world, and that experience changed my entire life. It changed everything about me and made me the person that I am today. And I thought about it as a 2-year vacation, and that's how I feel about New York. I'm being paid to gallivant. And you know, it's, there's work. Sure. I had a conversation one time about a guy with a guy who works at Amazon Music. And I was saying how, man, I'm just not really doing much. I feel like I've, got a lot of spare time on my hands. And he goes, no, you do a lot. You just are doing it. You've done it for 25 years. So it becomes old hat. And so it oftentimes feels like playtime. But you know, Barry, you wrote articles in your sleep. You know,
yeah, about people that, you know, everyone else was talking about. I get it. It felt like I was cheating.
Yeah, you know, it does. It does a little bit.
Getting to do the fun stuff. Yeah, I get it. I write about a restaurant. Yeah. I get to go eat. Write about.
Yeah.
It.
As long as it's before 7:30, you were in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Correct. Well, I mean, is there ever a time that you feel like that city is just going to chew you up, spit you out, and you're not going to be able to do it anymore? I mean, it is an exhausting place. As amazing as it is, it's so fast moving. Do you get concerned of being burned out by this?
I'm burnt out every day. Okay. I'm burnt out every day. But then you wake up and you're like, oh, I can do that today? All right, let's just go do that then. And then you get reinvigorated again. So it's just like it starts all over. You know, yeah, you're like, oh, God, So, like, yesterday, there was a Mumford & Sons pop-up at a bar in the West Village, and you wake up in the morning, and you hear about it, and I'm like, I cannot go into the city for the 9th day in a row. I just cannot do it. And then, like, an hour and a half passes, like, I can't not be there. I can't. Yeah. I've got to go. What am I doing here? Am I just sitting around with a cat? Get out of here, man.
All right. Serious question. Brian alluded to this after one of his visits. I guess you were downstairs waiting for fish.
Hey, Taco.
Hey.
Eric, come on.
There you go, buddy. There you go. They, weirdly enough, they don't sell PBR at my bodega. I'm sorry. So I got you one of these. My man.
Close enough. Brian, I don't remember which show it was, but you were talking about you were downstairs with Brad and there was a bunch of industry people, the people that make the decisions. So I'm going to ask Brad, what are you feeling right now? What's the state of music? Be professional. Give me an honest answer. Live music, obviously, in New York is different than the rest of the world. Or is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I have a cheat code up here. I don't know what I could say about this. I do know that, you know, it's harder now in probably than ever to figure out a way to break through. Everybody's trying to find an angle. Everybody's trying to find their niche. And, you know, if you don't have the data to back it up, it's a slog and you got to work your ass off. And when you do that, is it going to pay off? But, you know, I think about my buddy Jason Singer. You guys met him, Michigander. I mean, the kid, one of my favorite human beings on the planet, put out a new album. And, you know, he's going to work his ass off. And hopefully he gets, you know, the thing that breaks through. And, you know, unfortunately, the way that this thing is built, at least on the commerce side, is that you get a sync, you get in on a TikTok, and you go viral, and then all of a sudden you can make some money. If you don't have that, you got to go and go day to day and door to door and hand to hand combat. And, you know, it's rough. I mean, not everyone is. Look, Brian loves Chapel Roan, right? So Chapel Roan started her career and got dropped from her label and had to start all over. And it felt like an overnight explosion, but it wasn't.
It wasn't overnight.
She's been doing this for years. So, you know, if,
decade minimum.
Yeah. And so when you're one of these people, you just got to keep hoping and believing that you've got something until, you know, your moment comes. And, the state of the industry is, I'm not going to lie to you. It's itchy. It's scary. Right. It's right. Not, you're seeing, you know, labels lose 20-30% of their workforce. The infrastructure part of it is becoming dicier, even though they're making record profits. So nobody really knows where this thing kind of goes. And I think that's got everybody in a nervous place looking for easy answers and easy hits.
All right, I'm going to bring it back around to the Bonner roof a little bit.
Speaking of easy answers.
Baby.
That's why you left.
couldn't be left.
Proud of you. So proud of you. I missed that.
So you've seen it. When you were here in Chattanooga, you were program director of a, you know, mid-market Chattanooga radio station.
Small market, yeah.
Small market, and you and I started going to Bonnaroo, and we met people like Michigander, we met Warren Treaty, we met those guys who were trying to break in, and then got to watch them grow and become, you know, granddaughters.
Just stop you right there. I mean, look at what Warren Treaty did from the day that we met them, right?
How great was that? We had no idea who they were.
They changed us literally sitting across the table from them. They couldn't have been sweeter. The hugs, the tears, and then all of a sudden now they're on the Grammy, winning Grammys, and a single with Zach Bryan. Give me a break, man. What a story.
We've seen that. We've watched that. So, you know, those kind of moments, how is it different? Is it different to you?
It's the thing that keeps the fuel in the tank, man. Yeah. It keeps it.
That was an amazing day.
So that kind of stuff is the thing that, keeps me quite literally alive in this thing, because about 2 years ago, I stumbled upon this band. I fell in love with them. I started sending them to everyone in the industry. I got obsessed, and to the point where when they finally broke, you know, I got lucky. It doesn't happen very often, but I got lucky, and everybody looked around. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is Brad's band. This is Brad's. These are Brad's guys. And now I'm, like, friends with their dad. And their dad's best friend, who's a pain in my ass, but God, I love him. The band is Royal Otis, and they're going to be at Bonnaroo this year. And if there's one band that, yeah, I say this every year, I bring the whole camp to, you guys are coming with me to Royal Otis. They are absolutely have blown up, beyond my wildest expectations. But, you know, 2 years ago when I found them, I thought that these kids, if we could get them to America, they're going to explode. And they did. That's the thing that I love so much about this. You know,
so you can make a difference.
I mean, we all can make a difference.
Brad Steiner can make a difference.
Let's not overstate this. Let's not overstate this.
Many times.
Let's not overstate this. No, I think that everybody can make a difference in this industry if you truly believe in something. But I don't know if, look, there are people in this thing that'll say that they discovered Cage the Elephant, as if there wasn't a massive plan for this band to break.
It's like
anyway.
Discovering a mountain. Yeah. I get. Yeah, it's like discovering a mountain. It was there.
Look, I found the Tennessee River.
Yeah. I've always thought that was funny.
Yeah,
I discovered a continent.
Well, we have a president who thinks he found the Gulf. Let's be honest.
I know.
No, but that's the part of it that's really fun for me that I truly do love. I don't know if you have, I don't know if you can really make a difference. You feel like you do. Boy, you're told that you are, but you know, the cynic in me, I don't know if you really are. I don't know, but that's the part I love the most. I'm into two bands right now that are New York bands that I cannot stop talking about. I just saw one of them last week. I'll see the next one in a couple of weeks. One band's The Backfires, and the other is RC Drive, ARCY Drive. I played this for a bunch of people in my life, this RC Drive, and Taco, Brian, you're going to love this. But the main response that I got from playing this band for people is they said, you like this because it sounds like a dive bar.
It does sound like a
dive bar. That's my guy. Those are my guys.
I gotta check this
These
out.
These are my guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it on one of your snaps or somewhere, and I immediately thought that this is probably one that I might like.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Bonnaroo lineup. When it hit on that Tuesday, I mean, I know you weren't anticipating it like you have in the past. Some of that's changed with everything. We've already gone over that. First thoughts, what did you think?
Well, it's tough to anticipate something that you find out like 10 days before, you know? When I saw it, I was like, oh, this is good. It's really good. I want to ask you guys, though, when you saw it, I'm sure that you had a really positive reaction like everyone else did, but did the wind get taken out of your sails 2 days later when you saw the GovBall lineup? Did that change?
I got it written down right here to ask you almost that exact
Did that
thing.
Change? Did that change the narrative at all in you guys' world?
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, it did me. It felt like we've seen this before. And yes, it made the Bonnaroo one less special.
I thought it cheapened the whole damn process, the whole season. And I wondered if it was flipped the other way, which I know they strategically did this, probably. Maybe I don't know that, but I think that. What if the GovBall came out first and a week later we're looking at Bonnaroo seeing the same thing? We'd be like, this is lame as it gets. So I don't know how to feel about that exactly.
Let me add, it did just in that sense of this is what we talk about all the time. But as a fan, is it going to change my opinion of Bonnaroo? No. But from this show's point of view and everything we've talked about, it did. Does that make sense?
It does. I would say that, look, I think that what you see is the homogenization of everything that this world is, right? I mean, there's only a few people that can really operate these festivals, and C3 is going to, you know, maximize their ability to, you know, spread artists that they have agreements with through all of their own properties. So, of course, there's going to be spillover. I think what the kids at Bonnaroo do that they can locally control is really the secret sauce. Nobody else has Giz three nights, you know? Nobody else can add an Arcade Fire at the last minute.
Which we haven't even touched on.
Yeah.
We hadn't even talked about that late night, that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody else has what I think you guys are going to don't sleep on the Remy Wolf Super Jam, because she has got it. She has it.
100%.
So yeah, there are places where, you know, where they have their local control, they do a really, really good job of, you know, it's the C3 part of the festival that's sort of like given to them. And then they say, all right, well, I guess we can work with this box. We can work with this box of goods. Now we just got to add to it. I don't know if it matters. I really don't know if it matters anymore. You know, I think that when we started this thing, Barry, it was there were the big four, and there's still the big four, and it was so regionalized, and now you're seeing the regionalization sort of fall apart, and the smaller festivals losing their financial base. You know, these companies, they're losing employees. They don't have the amount of money that it takes to keep these things going. So, yeah, you're seeing less and less regionalization and less small festivals. The boutiques are going away. So, yeah, if you have a lineup that you can share from, you know, New York to Tennessee, does anybody care? What does it matter?
No, I agree.
Yeah, probably not, especially with a little bit of area between there. What do locals think about the festival governor's ball? I mean, is that something that New Yorkers care
There
about?
Are no locals. It's hard to say what do locals think about something in New York.
Well, sorry to be so bumpkin. Oh, what do locals think?
I know.
I don't know how to put it.
Boy, the defensiveness. Quick. Jesus.
What do people who live in New York think about governor's ball?
I had
you know how a puppy is when he sees a rolled up newspaper? He's twitching.
He is, yes.
He thinks it's coming.
I know. I had a friend of mine. I had a friend of mine text me. He was a big sports guy. He goes, "Oh, is anybody talking about the Knicks in town? No, No, like, I don't know. You know, like, I can't speak. You can't speak for 12 million people. Like, you cannot say, like, oh, yeah, by and large. The only.
I know, but come on. There's a little bit. I mean, it's a big festival.
GovBall is an interesting one because so many people still relate it to going to Randall's Island. And that was a pain in the ass. And they also know and remember how every time they would go to GovBall, there would be a massive rainstorm, or there would be lightning strikes.
So they don't care.
Lightning strikes that cancel. No, I just think it was hit with so many bad pieces of luck year after year after year that last year they finally get into the Queen's Park and they get a really good spot. The location now is set and firm. They get a great lineup. So it feels like they just started, sadly enough. You know, it feels like they finally got everything in place and now they just got to hope for the weather.
Right. We had a good interview with Tom Russell of Governor's Ball last year. Remember that?
Yep. Yeah.
I love that dude. I love that dude.
Yeah.
Former Superfly guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So along those lines, back to the when I saw the Governor Ball and when we saw the Bonnaroo lineup, to me, and Brad, this goes back to one of our early shows when we had Steven and Brian on talking about when we went to Knoxville and how they build lanes. When we came out of Bonnaroo last year, Russ and Brian, you will remember, Brad Parker sent me a text and said, it's a Renaissance year. It feels to me, to your point, that they've sort of figured out the formula again. And I'm stress again, because they do it every couple of 3 years. They had to deal with the boutique festivals. They had to deal with the fact that there were thousands of festivals all of a sudden. And so they had to kind of reinvent. This lineup to me, because of the lanes, as we've talked about, and the giz and the extras, the late night, the Arcade Fire that came out of nowhere this week, the Infinity Stage, you know, they keep value adding, I guess. Mm-hmm.
On top of everything they've done outside in the plazas already.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So that to me feels like, and that I guess I'm just curious if you see that industry-wide type of thing too. They have to do it. You got to adapt. You got to change. It's a camping festival that tries to get 80,000 people.
I understand what you're saying about lanes 5 years ago. I don't think that lanes exist anymore. I think that the thing that I've at least witnessed going from, I mentioned, you know, Chattanooga being a small market, New Orleans being a medium-sized market, and then to New York, the thing that feels so monumentally different about the three is the access to data and the way that they use data. You would be shocked that they have... I'm going to bet that C3 and these entities have so much data that they knew the same person that's buying a ticket for Luke Combs is buying a ticket for Dom Dalla. These are the same people. They have the same exact that's not a lane. So there's no connection between Luke. There is. Now, let me back that up. There is a connection from Luke Combs to Waxahachie to, you know, every other like country artist that you can find. But
Billy Strings.
But I promise you there's more of a connection between the Luke Combs and the Dom Dalla fan and the Justice fan than you probably think. I just use Justice because I don't have the lineup in front of me. But those kind of things are a lot more connected than you would imagine.
Okay, that's I get what you're saying, and I think we're saying the same thing differently. When 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when this idea of lanes was introduced to us, it was much narrower.
Yeah, that's right.
It was what I'm seeing is it is broader. When you look at this lineup, it is that type of fan.
Yeah, I think
we're gonna go see a Dom Dalla.
I think the idea is that there is the genre-ing that we believed in as four guys that are over 40.
You're the youngest guy.
That doesn't. Boy, it chose. I think that the point is that the genre defining thing doesn't really exist in anybody under 35 anymore. You know, so it's
I guess that's true.
So it's harder to draw one of these really clear paths that, you know, yes, there are going to be the people that go from Mount Joy to King Gizzard. Yes. That's going to be very easy for them to draw a straight line to. But these kids get off my lawn. The kids don't have they're not tied to genres anymore. You know, because by the way, all of those kids that are going to go see Dom Dolla going to ICP later.
That's what I was getting ready to say. So is this 61-year-old. Yeah. And that's, I guess, what I'm saying. I think it's hilarious that we've got ICP and Luke Combs and Dom Dolla and Queens of the Stone Age and Avril, you know, on and on and on.
The other thing, too, that I give them a lot of credit for, and I saw it might have been Brad that said this, and I apologize if I'm attributing this to someone that didn't say it, but the way that they kept the undercard feeling like Bonnaroo, but then had to go to the next generation of headliners, because if the one thing that you guys saw coming from a mile away is that headliners don't really exist anymore, and the ones that do are so expensive, and the other ones you've already had a million times, right. So you've got to go to a different world for headliners. And is Olivia Rodrigo a headliner that anybody would have been happy with 5 years ago? Or someone like her 5 years ago? Well,
she was in preschool 5 years
ago. Yes, I understand that. Or someone like her. I think that people would roll their eyes at it. But if they're going to go to the next generation of superstars, they've got to start putting people on that aren't necessarily the clearest Bonnaroo fit.
Yeah. I mean, Brad, that's an interesting thought, because
every thought of mine, Brian, is interesting.
I know all of them, every single one of them. because I think 5 years ago, I would have thought exactly that. Like, this is ridiculous. This Rodrigo, what are we doing here?
This Rodrigo.
this Rodrigo.
I've been conditioned to be looking for this.
To be angry. You're conditioned to be angry. You're conditioned to be upset.
Yeah, I am.
I know.
To be looking for a Lizzo. To be looking for something that I'm not necessarily even wanting. And that might be a testament to the way that the festival's held up.
Do you guys remember the arguments that we had hearing people say that Lizzo wasn't a headliner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, like, she was the, like, she cannot be the first female headliner that we have at this festival.
Well,
like, that was
a
serious.
We could go into the weeds on this one if we want to.
Yeah.
I won't, but we know where people's minds are coming from on this a lot of the time, I would say.
I don't know.
Fair?
No, I don't think that. I know where you're going with that, and I don't agree with you.
That was as much as she, you know, it could have been any.
People are awful, Brad.
Yeah,
you know that.
Been any.
Okay.
All right, so you mentioned some names already. Who are the other? Who are the other? Brad Steiner.
Oh God!
By the hand.
Hang on. Let me get. I got to get my phone. I got to look at the lineup here.
Oh,
hang
God.
On. Right. Are you anti-phone now, Brian? You're anti.
No,
what is the problem?
Guys coming on podcast doesn't bring lineup with them. Come on, Brad. You know how this works.
It's crazy. There is a box of Google sitting in my hand that I can access at any moment. Yes, you're right. I didn't print out the festival lineup, Brian, and highlight
He's
it.
So New York.
And then,
He's so New York.
Oh, yeah, the phone. God, so.
I don't need you. You don't have to print it off, Brad. It'd be better if you did.
I think that I'm going to, Brian, the first thing.
No, you're supposed to memorize
I'm
it.
Not,
laminated.
I'm not in love with Thursday. It's not really for me. I'm not going to be one of the Luke Combs, Dom Dolla girls, but I understand that they're out there and there's a lot of them. But I will say, Brian, if you don't know him, you need to be at the Marcus King show.
Oh, no, I know Marcus.
Okay, yeah, because that's got Brian written all over it. Yeah. I mean,
what about Southern Joey Rock? Valance? What about Joey Valance and Bray? You into the whole Beastie Boy EDM-y thing?
No, it's not EDM. It's Gen Z Beastie Boys. Yeah.
It's Beastie Boys, but it's got a little drumming sort of.
Yeah, it's okay. I think for Brian, it needs a bigger belt buckle. You know, I don't think it's big enough.
Allman Brothers cover band.
Yes.
Yeah. Bell bottoms. Maybe if they were bell bottoms.
Which, by the way, that's the only thing that he liked about the Kendrick show. He was like, hey, he's wearing my pants.
Those were good pants. Those were great jeans, Brad.
I know.
Those were fabulous jeans that Lamar was wearing.
All, Lamar.
Lamar.
This Rodrigo and Lamar. Yeah. God. Could you be more like undercover
jeans.
Racist?
Listen to this guy. Okay.
Oh, my
Continue.
God. His name is Kendrick. Lamar, not Lamar.
What?
Anyway, yes, you're the only one I thought of during that performance because of those pants. Because those were so he robbed you of your pants.
I fade in and out of fashion, my friend.
Was he wearing tube socks underneath? What's the over under?
I love the kids from Wildorado. That's gonna be a lovely show. I've got no problem with that. I also like this Hey Nothing. Band, two dudes talk about sounding a little bit like a dive bar. I think that they're just crunchy enough. I think they're just unpolished and lack of varnish enough. I like that I Haunt Your Dreams track. So give those guys a try. That's really pretty much all I would spend time with on Thursday. But Friday, I was immediately... I'm not going to say the word concern, but I was drawn to, and I don't know if you guys notice, the Foster the People slide. We talk all the time about how...
You mean down the list?
Yeah, we talk all the time about how bands move themselves up the lineup. But for a band that I adore, with an album that I thought was fantastic, for them to have slid down the lineup the way that they have is stunning to me. It's absolutely stunning. One of my favorite memories in New York that I've had is on my birthday. Of all the things that I chose to do, there was a Foster the People underplay, and because their manager knows how big of a Julia Garner fan I am, he said, "Look, if you come to the show, I promise you can hug her." So I went to a Foster the People show just so I could hug Julia Garner.
That's a heck of a promise. I'd like to know how that conversation went. Hey, there's this guy, Brad.
It was described by people.
You gotta hug him.
It was described as people near me as, well, that was creepy.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
No doubt.
Oh God, I love her so much. Anyway, I would not miss the Foster the People show only because that was one of my favorite Bonnaroo memories. Standing on stage and then standing next to me is the Fits and the Tantrums people, and realizing in that moment, oh, I think they might be dating. It was so weird. I think that you are insane if you don't go to Megadeth. I don't know how. The thing that I love about Bonnaroo, right, is that you go to shows that you absolutely would never pay to go to otherwise. Yes. I'm not leaving the house for a Megadeth show. I'm not paying for one. But my God, I bet that's going to be so fun. That is the Alice Cooper spot, right?
We had
the Alice Cooper.
We mentioned that about every week.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm glad we're on the same page.
And now we know that's going to be a late night show. Megadeth is on the After Hours release that they just put out a few days ago.
Well, man, that makes sense. It's where they put Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper's 1 a.m., right?
Yeah.
It's where they put Korn, too, late anyway. I don't know if it was after 1 a.m., but yeah.
No, I'm glad to hear you say that because that's 100%. You're not going to see this show
anywhere else
for any reason, but you will be able to say you saw Megan.
Barry, how old are they now?
God, I don't know.
Oh, mid-60s.
Yeah.
I looked it up the other day.
So
I think maybe pushing 70.
Okay, so Megadeth is almost death. Megadeth takes a new name. It's a new whole new
about to leave
meaning
up to their name.
I'm a huge fan of Mannequin Pussy, which is weird because there are two bands with the name with the word mannequin in it on the lineup, which feels very I don't know if that's happened before. A lot of babies. We've had babies before, but not a couple of mannequins. I love Mannequin Pussy. That was one of my favorite albums last year. For being an indie nerd, I like that band a lot. And then a band I struggle with on Friday is the only other one that sticks out to me is Cults. I don't know if you guys remember me and Nick Turner and the wife walking to the Cults show, and quite literally, I fell asleep standing up. I love this band, but God, it was such... a bad time. It was in the middle of the day. It was hot as hell. They're too sleepy for that space, but I got to go back and see them because I love that band.
Was that the same year as, was it Little Dicky?
It might have been. Oh, it might have been.
God, you were into that Little Dicky stuff.
That was the most disappointing show.
It was really bad. Yeah, it was really bad.
I remember you slept through that one, too, I thought. Maybe.
No, I think we just left. Okay. That was a rough year. Yeah. And then Saturday is the day that feels...
take a rest?
No, I would be resting Thursday and Friday. Sunday's my day. Let's be honest. Sunday's my day. But Saturday's the most exploratory that I would be if I was you guys, right? I start with the Arcade Fire ad, and you guys tell me, it feels like the biggest late ad maybe in Bonnaroo history. I hearken it back to Jimmy Buffett.
It feels like a throwaway. Like, it's like, where did this come from?
And yeah, Arcade Fire was one of my favorite shows ever.
Ever.
And so, yeah, I'm with you. This is like, oh, by the way, are you kidding?
You know, the juxtaposition of what Arcade Fire one night and then the Black Keys. Arcade Fire doing it with 12 people on stage and then Black Keys the next night or the night before doing it with three people on stage, doing this, having the same billowing sound and the same full experience was just two nights in a row that I thought were just magical. Yes, Ms. Taco. Awesome. Sorry.
Well, I got to ask you this. What is this an Arcade Fire performance? Because the way it's worded is very weird. It says Arcade Fire presents Santa Pirata.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're
what
being
does that
very
mean, presents.
Yeah, we don't know.
I've heard this might be like a DJ act.
It's not a DJ. No, it's not a DJ set.
It's not a
no.
DJ.
Okay. I think so what I think that Wynn is trying to reset the Arcade Fire narrative, both sonically and maybe personally. Look, I have a tough time talking about Arcade Fire. I spent way too much time with them in New Orleans. They're from New Orleans. They live in New Orleans, not from New Orleans. They live there now. They have such a ingrained existence with the Prez Hall people, with so many people that I adore in that city. Wynn has done a fantastic job being a good beacon for that town. He's got his own crew. You see him at every show. He has never been anything but lovely and kind to me. Really funny, really dry. But there is the obvious, you know, elephant in the room in the allegations that came years ago. And, you know, they're obviously trying to have a new presentation. What that presentation is going to be, I've heard a lot of different things about that I doesn't really feel like none of it really sticks or makes sense to me. So I would go, and here's the other thing too that makes it so interesting. They're going to present a whole new, I'll put it this way, they're going to have a new presentation of this, and the first time they're going to be doing it is on that stage, right? In Bonnaroo. It's going to be one of the first times they present this. That feels risky. You know, the Bonnaroo stage is for something you don't take many risks. You know, it's not
for experimenting.
It's not for a completely new sound from a very well-established artist. This just has so much it just could go well. It could go wrong. I don't think it's going to. But it's got the feel of this is risky. Maybe that's what makes it so fun. Maybe that's what makes it so interesting for them. Maybe that's what they're trying to look for. But I'm all in on it. I know that
we're not gonna get an Arcade Fire on the Witch stage show like in the past. It's gonna be something
different. I don't know.
Do you think there would be blowback if they were on the initial lineup or something? Do you think there's any strategic maneuvering to this at all, or am I looking too far into that?
I think if they're on the initial lineup, they would have been completely glossed over. So this gives
okay,
we're
so they're actually they're putting the spotlight down.
We are talking about Arcade Fire, and you know what I anticipate being new music from them this year anyway. So it's a strategic plan that they have. They're too important. They're too valuable to their management and label for this not to be very, very, very well thought out. If there's anything that Wynn does, it's think things through. So, and sometimes maybe he thinks it too much, but he's not going to do anything on a whim, which makes this kind of exciting. And I dangerous, like, but exciting. The other thing that I would point to, somebody keep Evan Bonner hydrated for Mountjoy. This dude, I don't know how you guys have seen me nerd out about bands, but is there a dude that loves this band more than Evan Bonnaroo? He's obsessed with Mountjoy. Obsessed with them.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen his Jack White obsession is there. And then there's what? The Revivalist, too, I believe. And so Mountjoy is one of his obsessions. Yeah.
Mountjoy, John Mayer, Revivalist, and Jack White. Huh? He loves somebody keep him alive for that show. And then.
Well, Mountjoy, that, I mean, I'm a big fan too, so I'm looking forward to
it. I am kind of into Action Bronson. He does all the things musically that I appreciate and then adds, you know, hip-hop and Wu-Tang on top of it. So I don't know if that's going to be to a track or to a band. I hope it's to a band. But musically, dude, that guy has my number. You know how much of a stan I am for Olivia Rodrigo, the Rodrigo girl? I love her. I love her. I think that she is, she's my generation's Taylor Swift. I think that she's
your generation.
I think that she's, wait a minute, she's such a good songwriter. The way that she, I know.
Taylor Swift is your generation.
She's such a good songwriter. I find the way that she chooses phrases and certain, sentences to be so unique. I'm a huge fan. I'm going to go to Gigi Perez too. Talk about a sweetheart who's trying to find her way in this industry. She's got, you know, TikTok heat. She's got a track that has blown up called Sailor Song. Her mom is her manager, and she is the sweetest mom that you've ever met. She just walks around hugging everyone. I love that. And then if you're not at Russie, I'm sorry, Rossie, Russ, I'm upset. Let's back up for a second. There is a band called Rossie.
I was going to say Rossie and Barry Can't
Swim. And Barry Can't Swim. Where is the band named Brian Needs a Girl? If you had that, everything would be fine.
What are you, my mother, Brad? Get out of here.
Brian ain't happy.
You're going to get a girl over there,
Brian. I'm worried about you. Look at the room you're sitting in. No woman would walk in. This feels like home.
Are you eating? Are you eating?
Ah, Brian, we gotta work on it. All right, we gotta work on it.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna get it a long way real quick. Sunday, move on. You said that's your day.
Yeah, I like James Arthur, even though he might be a Ted to sad boy pop for a lot of people. I want to see what Bill Murray is, just because I'm a huge Bill Murray fan. That dude, if you know the band Attack Attack, he started this little project called Bill Murray, and you know, okay, you guys know
I was trying to figure out what you, I was trying to figure out what you were talking about. Bill Murray, all one word there. I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah, he's Bill Murray. Yeah, I'm doing it because I just want to talk about the time I met Bill Murray.
Yeah, and you got a few pictures, and he's your good buddy now. Yeah, in Chicago.
Oh, I see it. I see it now. Okay, Bill Murray, B-I-L-M-U-R-I.
Bill Murray.
Okay,
Bill Murray.
Yeah,
Brad, tell you about that time he met the real Bill Murray.
Have I ever told you guys that story?
Once or twice.
I am gonna go see Big Gigantic because I like their stuff 8 years ago, and I'm still holding on to that band. I love them so much. I'm gonna go see Barry Can't Swim, for obvious reasons. I swear to God, if the Bonnaroo people do not let you on that stage to introduce Barry Can't Swim, I would burn it down.
We do need to work on this.
But we can make that happen.
But side note, it's a really good show, guys. He is fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I like him a lot. Spend time with Barry Can't Swim. And honestly, Barry,
I do every week.
Show up shirtless. I think this is the day you go shirtless. Okay. Show up in swim trunks. Maybe a onesie. You could be in a one piece.
That, okay, now that I could do.
Everybody's coming with me to
wear it for the wear it for the pool party, then wear it for Barry Kent.
See, there you go. Everybody's coming with me to Royal Otis. Look, I think that I can't believe you guys don't know this band. Not only Sofa King was so infectious, but they're the ones that did the Murder on the Dance Floor cover that took over last year. They did the Linger. They always finished with Linger. Two Australian kids, Roy and Otis. Otis is just the most charming, beautiful front kid you've ever met, who's just so soft-spoken and lovely. He's got a voice like an angel. And Roy kicks my ass every time I'm around him. I mean, 4 a.m., hammer it. Two of my favorite people in this industry. I love these kids. I would take a bullet for this band. I love this band so much. I think that it's them. Fontaine's DC is like our next generation, who we have to look forward to coming with Heat. There's not a lot. We don't have a lot of these guys that I think have superstar potential, like Blue Brigada maybe, but I think the Royal Otis kids have it. Remy Wolf, the Super Jam on Saturday, I think is a must see. She is a sweetheart. She's got a ton of friends, and she's got a history with music. She loves it so much. She's got a really good perspective. Plus, she's adorable and so charming. Spend time with the Remy Wolf. And then, of course, I'm going to finish up with Queens of the Stone Age and Vampire Weekend, even though, you know, I think the last Vampire Weekend album left us all something to, you know, left us wanting a little bit more. And then I'm going to probably leave before Hozier if I'm there, because I've seen Hozier a lot. I've seen Hozier a lot. There's been a lot of Hozier in my life. So love Andy, but I'm probably leaving early.
Right, there you go. There you go. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's
a whole page.
That's not bad.
I took notes. Yeah. I took notes. I hope y'all did too.
Yeah,
I did too. Typically, we get about two or three from you. So
what?
That's good. No, I don't mean that ugly. I mean, like, you know, there's usually the two or three don't miss.
The don't miss is Royal Otis for me. The don't miss is Royal Otis and Arcade Fire. Look, none of the headliners do anything for me, and that's fine, except for Olivia Rodrigo. I would not be anywhere but Olivia Rodrigo. I mean, I would be Billy Joeling it after the show and before the show, just hoping to run into Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Let me ask you this. Three nights of King Giz, you're not going to
I would. I would do that Friday night, because Friday is my lightest day. I would probably do that Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Unless it's on the same time as Megadeth, then I'm screwed. But yeah, I'd find a King Giz in there sometime as well. And by the way, you know, I still haven't, with all of the Plaza stuff, I still haven't been to any of them. Like, they do all these shows out in the plazas, and I never went to any of them.
You haven't been to GA since 2009.
What is GA?
Where the savages hang out. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. What is what's camp look like these days? Who are you guys got? God.
You're looking at it.
Yeah. It's about as fun as my office here.
You're looking at it.
Yeah. We kind of merged our camp with a group out of Nashville. We got another Brad.
We have another Brad. Brad's everywhere.
Barry, thanks you. Barry cannot do any more new names.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Yeah. I think we turned a little bit of a corner. Last couple of years were pretty sparse, but then we realized that we have been camping next to the folks that Russ just alluded to, Beth and Brad, and we like it. And
Nashville.com, I believe.
Jerry's in Nashville.com. Contributor, writer, mm-hmm. and then Beth is a photographer, and so
man, Barry really does have a type, doesn't he? He does.
But I think I think we all, when we left this last year, we felt energized and felt glad about being with them. And
well, what are you guys looking forward to this year? What is your impression of this lineup so far?
I mean, we're gonna deep dive way into it, but I mean, I don't know. if it's blanketed across the board, but we were all pretty excited.
Yeah.
What, like, seemingly most people were. I mean, I when I first saw it, I thought it was an absolute home run. I put it on a par with 2020. Mm-hmm. I think some of that's lore at this point. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really nice lineup with the addition of Thursday being actually mostly a
Yeah, how did that
day.
Go last think, year? With the headlining on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Pretty Lights was so much fun. The crowd control was so much better on a Thursday, moving people around. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
I think it brings a whole nother element of value. I think you mentioned that earlier, Brad, to this entire thing. That Thursday to me is huge.
What was the crowd like?
Better. It was probably the same as it normally is, but it's so concentrated in the tent and Centaroo area outside of the main field. When you open that up, it just made it such a comfortable fun.
Really?
We had a good Thursday as a show all the way around. We had a lot of fun stuff on
Thursday. Thursday's my favorite day. Thursday's my favorite day.
Thursday was a great day.
Yeah.
Friday was a good day. Yeah.
But I think that's what sets it over the top of a value add.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking, mm-hmm. is just that Thursday is huge.
Yeah, what they've done, and almost too much, is because of all the stuff out in the plazas, it spread things out, so you're not getting the giant crowd at one place like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that makes it more comfortable. Everything they've done, from the bathrooms to the showers to just the
logistics. What do you think the biggest non-headliner show is going to be this year? Like, last year was Noah Kahan, right? That had to be the biggest crowd.
Year before last.
Okay, got it.
No, last year was Chapel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, so, that's a good
question. Who do you think that is this year?
Giz. Probably one of those.
Yeah.
Does Goose have a show that gives a jam band feel and a renaissance of the jam feel? That could be a sidebar storyline, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah.
And that's.
I think the Infinity Stage. I'm curious.
Oh yeah.
That could. The Remy Wolf thing. What is
this Infinity Stage? And by the way, why did they name it that?
I was going to ask you.
Why do they name it that? That doesn't feel like the right name.
Yeah, I don't.
It feels like they pulled it out of a hat a little bit. But I was going to ask you the same thing. What about?
I don't know,
Brad. You got to know more.
I don't. I don't. I have no idea. I mean, you guys are fucked.
It's called the world's largest 360 degree spatial audio. It's
where are they putting it?
That's what we don't know.
We don't know.
Our guest is over probably where the comedy.
I was going to say comedy tent. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the most space seems to be. Originally, I think some of us thought it was going to be similar to like the Sphere, but Brad
just
Parker,
in just conceptually, anyway.
Yeah,
not
Brad,
like
pretty it. Much no. It's a 360 audio. I don't think it's got video and all that kind of. But you will stand wherever you're standing, and you will hear the music completely surrounding you.
Okay,
we don't know how big. You know, I mean, is it 100 people, 5,000 people, 10? We don't know.
Okay.
My first guess is, with it being a brand new idea, it's probably not going to be that great. We're going to think it's going to be really cool, and it's probably not. Yeah. Conceptually, it'll be fine. But
surprise, surprise. Brian hates it.
Oh, come on. It's a first-time thing. Of course it's not going to be that great.
Oh, my God.
Everything can't be great all the time, guys.
It's got to be the best ever. Literally. The best ever.
Literally.
Hey, do you guys do a day, like a weekly check-in about how Brian said Paul McCartney wasn't the greatest show ever? Do you just remind him of that every week, of how wrong he has been about so much? Every week you could come back and say, hey, let's go through the Rolodex of the things that Brian's gotten wrong. You didn't think Paul McCartney...
Yeah.
You didn't even go to
fine.
The show.
It was fine.
You didn't even go.
Fine.
You didn't even go to the
I
show.
I didn't go proper. Like, I mean, I went, but.
We do have some.
This
Brian.
Was 12 years ago.
Yeah, but.
It's going to be still. A new segment on the show.
Yeah. I will say, I'm very happy that the lineup doesn't have a Red Hot Chili Peppers on it. You know, I'm really happy that they didn't like try and force and cram in another Pearl Jam set or you know, an Eminem, you know, somebody that we've just seen over and over and over.
I actually agree. I agree with you. I agree with you very much.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Is there, what's the closest? I can't even think of.
I mean, Queens of the Stone Age.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still curious.
I'm pumped about Queens.
Yeah. Oh, I am too.
Do you think that Dave Grohl shows up for that on his Dave Grohl PR reunion tour or PR tour? Because I
had enough a day.
Well, you shouldn't, because I think that I have this sneaking suspicion that something Nirvana is happening, right? Because they keep popping up into high profile moments, you know.
Yeah, and it sounds like shit every time they do it. Like, enough.
Nirvana overrated.
No, I'm the biggest Dave Nirvana 90s guy.
Lamar and that Rodrigo.
What do you mean I should care about Dave? All I've done is cared about him my whole life. Now I kind of don't. Okay. What are you talking about?
Well, because I think that they're trying to set some... I'm not saying you should care. Okay, don't care. I don't give a damn if what you do. But I think that there's some... If you're not paying attention to this, every time that there is a big profile jam ability thing on TV, Dave just happens to bring Novoselic and Pat Smear out. Right.
Okay. So this is an Arcade Fire, Dave Grohl, like
kind of
come together, kumbaya.
Well, you know? I think that what if they're setting up a Nirvana reunion, like do 6 dates around the country, and they just get different singers and guitar players in each one of these shows, and it starts at Coachella with Post Malone.
It'll sell a lot of tickets.
I don't have any information about this, by the way. It just something feels.
I was gonna say, this is a hell of a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. Why has this happened?
Yeah, we just made it.
Why has this happened multiple times in the course of 3 weeks? These things just don't happen by accident, man. Like they plan these things out.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm really intrigued about what they're trying to set up here. Something feels like there's a Nirvana thing about to happen, but you know.
Well, to the original point of all this, would, because Dave's played with Queens on at least one record, mm-hmm, and a few tours, mm-hmm, so would he show up? That'd be neat, but you know, I don't know that.
Yeah, I just don't think that happens anymore. At Bonnaroo, right? There's just not that pop in anymore.
No,
not as much. Billy Strings did with somebody the other day, but other year, but yeah, not as
the
much
other day.
Post Malone
one time.
There was more last year than in the previous five.
Oh, really?
Six or seven? Yeah, for sure. No, everything the last several years, and even when you were still doing this with us, we ask, you know, is that planned? What happened to those impromptu things? And it was just sort of it wasn't Bonnaroo. It was that's what they wanted to do.
Well, you know, when you have everyone holding a communicative box that can get you in front of 6 million people in a blink of an eye, and you sound like shit. Yeah. Because you didn't prepare and you didn't sound check and you have no idea what the song is, you know, it's a bad look.
That's what we heard. That's what we heard is we practiced, we prepared. This is the show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to, you know, do a.
No, it's like, it's sort of what, like, it
makes sense.
It's even to the point of like Jack White the other night. You know, I got to see him at Irving Plaza, which is like 800 people. And that day he comes out and he says, you guys expecting 4-hour shows, that's not,
yeah,
it's actually not that good. It's better when I do it tight and I play well and not for like endless amount of time. As much
I
as we want
agree
it
with that.
Yeah. All right, what else is going on with you guys? How's life?
Everything is
great. I don't like Brian, don't I didn't mean that question to you.
Oh,
how's life?
Oh. Yeah, don't get me started.
Taco.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Brad, first of all, for taking some time. I don't mean to cut off to, Taco, but thank you for talking.
Taco, what color hair is hers this time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Raymond's color of Raymond.
Pick and choose your flavor each and every day. Yeah. Barry, how's the fam?
Everybody's good.
Okay.
Be going down to your mom's.
Your mom joke. Got it. Okay. Wow.
Be going to
wow,
to
Barry's
neck of the woods next week.
Man.
Ask your mother.
Ask your mother. No, Brad's mom Barry and pulled, down in St. Simon's. Barry, we're going down there this week.
Barry so, pulled yeah. a your mom joke. Wow.
This is the beginning of the show. I'll clip that for you right now.
Well, I miss you guys. I'm so glad I got to connect. I hope you guys have a great time. And I know, Barry, the walls of the basement are getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and you're never leaving. But if you do decide to leave before the sun goes down, God, I wish you'd come to New York sometime. I know Taco's not going to because there are mountains and the bus won't get here. But
it'd be a 2-week drive.
Yeah.
I'm still eyeing that Oasis East Rutherford.
Please
show,
don't.
Brad, so I might be crashing on you.
Please don't.
All right, do it. Did you finally get, or is that is it fake? What's that on your?
Oh, brain? I'm not supposed to. Shit. I wasn't. It's a secret. It's a secret. It's gonna be.
Can never tell if this guy's getting real tattoos or just putting stick on.
Okay, so yeah. So look.
It's the Hannah.
So look, what is the thing I love the most in this world?
Me.
Oh God.
Me.
Yourself. Yeah. Yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Your hair.
It's close. What's number two? I love crawfish. I love crawfish.
I'm slipping. Right.
So I love crawfish, and so my whole point. So I was hanging out with my buddy Mike. And he goes, he's got all these stupid, weird tattoos, right? Just ridiculous nonsense. You know, a glass of wine. Why do you get this? Anyway, so he gets this ridiculous tattoo. And I said,
I'm guessing he would take offense at that.
Oh, I've said it to him before. We went to a Mets game together because we're big Mets guys. And he's my Mets ticket guy. So he walks up to me with short shorts on. And I look down at his leg and he's gotten the type Dallas Cowboys tattooed on his leg. And he did it just for that day, just to annoy me, because we would be sitting next to each other and I'd have to stare at the words Dallas Cowboys on his leg. Literally just got a tattoo out of spite because he knew he was hanging out with me.
That's next level.
So he gets ridiculous tattoos, and I look at him and I was like, I don't love anything in this world enough to put it on my body. He goes, that's not true. You love crawfish. I was like, oh my God, you got me. And crawfish is never getting canceled. Crawfish is never going to disappoint me. Crawfish is never going to put out a terrible album. So... what if I got a... So I started thinking about it. Okay, how do you eat crawfish? Brian, you know? Show how you eat crawfish.
I mean, you hold it like
this. Twist, pull. And then, boom, do it. Chuck. Eat it again.
What are you talking
twist.
About?
Hang on. Twist. Pinch the tail. Pinch the tail.
Yeah.
Suck the head.
And then... Oh, and suck the head. Well, I don't know what we're doing here, Brad.
There it is. All right.
So the idea is to power play while I'm standing at a crawfish boil over the table, and every time I eat a crawfish, I power play and show my tattoo, which is a crawfish.
Oh my God. Nice. That's a power play. I didn't know where this was going. I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah.
And that's real.
Huh?
It is real.
It is real. My first ever. And probably only ever. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't understand how this relationship works. You trash me for everything. Trash me for everything in the world. And then you show up with a crawfish tattoo.
You got a bug.
Brian, you have a triangle.
A lot of triangles. There are a bunch of triangles.
Okay. Yes, you're right. You win, buddy. Triangle. Yes. They mean a lot.
I'm not trying to have a contest.
Triangles mean a lot to you. They're very important to you. I know. Very big deal. Anything else?
You win, Brad. You win the contest.
I don't need a contest.
Hey, buddy,
is it a
right
triangle? What kind of triangle are we talking about?
It's a bunch of them. They're all combined.
But why? Right. What does it mean?
It's got a Pearl Jam thing to it. Just stop.
Okay. All right. Pearl Jam. Got it. Right. Anything else?
You don't want to hear.
I don't. You're right. I stopped listening.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, guys, that was everything, like I said, that I feared it would be. It was great to have Brad back on.
feared and loathed and everything else. And
yeah.
Brad's always fun.
A lot of fun, and I was glad to get his insights. Serious talk. It's very hard for Brian and I, especially, to say anything nice about Brad, but he knows what he's talking about, and I'm glad to get his insights on Axe to Sea.
Yeah, I absolutely. That's 100% accurate. It is a difficult place to give him a lot of credit, but except for in this, especially in this setting, he certainly knows. I wrote down, you know, I took notes. I wasn't joking. Will Dorado, Hey Nothing, Royal Otis. Just quick ones, and then I had a couple little stars here and there that I'll forget what they mean, but
I mean, the Arcade Fire thing alone was an interesting. We haven't really, because that just came up this week, so we'll probably have to talk some more about that later. What a surprise.
Interested to see, you know, you brought it up, Taco, the Santa Parada. Nobody seems to know what that is, and I guess that's by design. We just talked about it, but Parada is, I looked it up as I did a Google. Nothing was coming up quickly, and maybe people know this. I didn't. Parada's Italian for pirate, and that's about as far as I got.
Who would have guessed?
About as far as I got.
Right. So we'll dive deeper into that. And this is a long show, so we're not going to stay here much longer, but we wanted to play, get Russ to share a couple of question entries. Don't forget, guys, we have two tickets. Excuse me, plus a camping pass that we're going to give away, as well as a copy of
the Bonnaroo yearbook,
which I have, my own. I bought. Thank you.
You won't get Barry's. You'll get a copy
because it's autographed to me personally.
And then a print for my Bonnaroo, right?
David Bruce print. Yeah.
And so. I mean, you guys, if you want to get it in, do it. We're about to wrap this up. We might do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, we're getting very, 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 very close. That's not like a low ticket warning. Be sure to buy it. No, we're actually going to do this very soon.
We want to do it very soon.
Tier one is almost done.
Partly because
there's only one tier.
We're running out of questions, but also so that you guys, whoever wins, can make your plans. So we understand that. So we're going to pick those soon. We have a guest, and I'm always hesitant to announce ahead of time a show guest because things can happen, but we are going to have somebody on from C3 coming up very soon to answer a lot of your questions that we're seeing, you know, on all the socials about camping. And so the question this week is basically, if you have a question that you want to ask somebody from C3 about camping, and I'm using that as a general umbrella term.
Yeah.
However, you know, call it whatever you want. RV, tent, whatever your question is.
Your accommodation setting. Correct. What are your questions on that? Which the way it's gotten pretty convoluted out there, and I don't mean that in negative connotation, those questions are certainly valid.
Yeah, since they've gone to the a la carte sort of way, and then there's, you know, still the questions, can I bring propane? Can I bring a grill? Can I bring this and that? And we're going to get those answered. I can tell you for a fact, the one thing we have learned from the very first is do not bring glass.
Yeah, that's about the only thing you're guaranteed to get
that's
nailed.
A hard no. So anyway,
we might, you mentioned Discord. We might do a Discord Q&A session. If you want to drop questions, what.co/Discord, join us in there. Cause Brad's in there and we might try to get some questions lined up for next week. So if you want to be a part of that, and then also, go to thewetpodcast.com. There's a link there. You can submit your questions for this week's contest entry. You can email, you can fax, you can leave us a voicemail. You can submit a video. You can record yourself talking, send it in. So all that's on the website. We've got a lot of entries already, so thank you for that.
Let's get a couple of them, shall we?
Yeah, I want to just jump real quick because I'm looking at the entries, and it always impresses me that people who listen are from literally all over the country. I think that's so cool. Iowa, Montana, you know, Texas. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. It means a lot to us.
Very much.
And thanks for responding. It always amazes me how broad the fan base is, but also, as I've said 1,000 times, how we all seem to have different but similar stories. So anyway, go ahead, Russ. What are you going to play?
Well, before we do that, we got some major news to cover because we got the Bonnaroo After Hours lineup released. I want to talk about that for a minute.
Sure.
What do you guys think?
I think it's terrific. it reminded me, and I have to be honest, I didn't intentionally not want to do the deep dive because I was smart enough to realize that these, you know, there were more schedules.
Something would throw you off. Yeah.
I'm not that smart. But I'm glad we didn't because well, there's more, so much more to come. So
there's more coming. Yeah. We've got a Who stage lineup. We've got an Outeroo lineup coming. You know, there's a lot more to be announced. But yeah, this After Hours Thursday, you've got Dom Dalla, Insane Clown Posse, Joey Valance, and Bray. That's the one that was recommended to us that was like a Gen Z Beastie Boys.
Yep.
So that's Thursday. Friday, Glass Animals, Tipper, Megadeth, Of the Trees, JPEG Mafia. And then Saturday, Justice. And then that's where they announced that they threw in that Arcade Fire Presents Santa Parada. And then King Gizzard, of course. Gorgon City and Crankdat. What do you guys think of Crankdat?
Don't know the first thing about them. the only thing I'll say about this quickly is I haven't digested it completely. Like, because I, to Barry's point, I'm still waiting for all the pieces to come out. I don't love all this stuff I want to see being so late. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be that guy. Like if it was one
how much
or two,
do you want to see?
I want to see Glass Animals, Tipper, and Megadeth, and that's all after midnight. And the idea to see three acts after midnight in one night, and it's not because I can't. I'm a super night owl, guys. Like just because I don't want to go do anything late doesn't mean I'm asleep. It's just, you know, for balance of the day, late night can really throw off of the following day. But, I mean, I'm not angry about any of it. I'd like to see Megadeth at 8 o'clock, if I just had to put it that way. That's what I'd rather see.
You know, probably most Megadeth fans would agree.
At this point, also, I meant to fact check it. Dave Mustaine is 63, in case anybody wondered. Dave Mustaine, the lead singer of Megadeth, is 63.
Yeah.
So, yes, he probably also would like 8 o'clock. But, I mean, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Like, it is really impressive to just, hey, it's Tuesday, here's some stuff. And then we almost, it feels like to me as a community, we didn't chew on it enough. It just, hey, did you see Arcade Fire's going to be there? Okay. Like, I don't know if that's just because Bonnaroo is just, we're just kind of conditioned to just always be excited and happy about what, I don't know. But I love it. I think it's really, really
I think it's impressive. Great. There are fewer acts that I don't know anything about than the other. I'm like, everybody on Thursday I want to see. I don't know anything much about JPEG Mafia or Gorgon City or Crankdat, but everybody else I want to see. So,
I even know of the Trees because they played one of our local EDM festivals a few years ago. And this JPEG Mafia, I don't know the first thing about them, but I've seen the name all over. So, like, this is just – a lot of times we get these, like, here's – you know, I don't mean to crap on the Who stage because I love the Who stage, but you get this and, like, I don't know what any of that stuff is. Or here's this kind of throw-in thing. You know, I'm sure that's fun, but I don't know. This is like a whole nother lineup.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
And a lot of it makes sense. I mean, ICP, of course, you want to see them late night. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's like Gwar late. Like, that makes – I love that.
That's that Gwar type thing. And then King Giz, you know, we kind of figured they're going to do at least one late night.
At least one.
Probably
three
shows.
Yeah. Right.
Probably two. So
yeah, we'll see. Anyways, but it's a testament to this festival to just throw something out there like that. And just
there's more coming.
Moving right along. You know, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we can jump back to our contest here. I just wanted to mention that before we got out of here.
Cool.
I guess we'll start. We got an email, and this is from Joe. I guess you guys saw this. This is he said the question was, what artists did you not know about, but when you heard them at Bonnaroo, you became a new fan? And he says he's only been to one, so it was last year that artist for him was Kurungbin. He says we were at camp during our dinner. Yeah. So pumped for what we heard. Really got excited when we heard they were from Houston. Even cooler to see that they just got nominated for a Grammy Best New Artist. And then he included some pictures, which we'll put up here. So,
sorry, my girl Chapel took that one there, though, guys.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, go
it's
ahead.
It's an honor to be nominated.
I know you will, Russ, but go ahead and link to our interview with Kurungbin, one of my favorite.
Yes, we did have Kurungbin on the show. Yeah, go back and check that out.
so sweet, mm-hmm. and loved hearing the story about playing church league basketball and the guy cussing with the Paul McCartney reference. So look it up. One of my favorites.
All right. Well, let's play. I've got another video here. This is somebody you probably are familiar with. This is Lena. She sent in another video. So here we go.
Hello, Wet Podcast. It's Lena again, and this is my friend and Mary.
Hi.
Yes. The prompt was perfect for us this week because I'm dragging Mary to Bonnaroo with me. Whether
first
we
time.
Go. Yes, exactly. Whether we go with the volunteer program or with these tickets, which is what we're hoping. But I know. But I'm going to drag Mary to the Goof set with me because I've never seen a jam band at Bonnaroo, and I think it'd be really fun. What artists are you looking forward to seeing?
I mean, I'm looking forward to... I want to see Don Dalla, but I don't know. I'm down to go wherever Lena takes me.
Yes, but we're broke occupational therapy students, so we will be volunteering, but we're going to the farm regardless, and I'll be super excited if we can just explore and see everything that it has to offer this year because... obviously, the shifts are long, but it's going to be fun no matter what happens.
No matter what, yes.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, their attitude is good.
Love it.
Good attitude. Yeah. That's going to get you a long way. Good start for a long weekend is patience and good attitude, which is something I have trouble with.
Something Brian has of that's neither. Yeah. Right.
But magically, Bonnaroo brings out the best in me, guys. So when you see me at Bonnaroo, you know you're getting the best version of me.
It's the happiest you'll ever see Brian.
That is true.
It's true.
I thought it was interesting they'd never seen a jam band at Bonnaroo.
That's
a pretty good one to start with.
That's hard to do.
Well, Goose is the place to start in this day and age of jam bands, that is for sure. Anything else? Yeah.
We got one more. This is an audio file sent to us from James. So here we go.
Hey guys, this is James calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I wanted to share a funny story. I've titled it The Great Roo Shoe Goo Disaster of 23. It was my third Roo, and I'd been to a lot of other festivals, so I learned that I need shoe insoles. They're an essential. So I had my one pair of Adidas sneakers, and a few weeks before the fest, I bought some new insoles. I was wearing them at work, and I just was not enjoying it. They were not comfortable. They wouldn't stop sliding around, like, in my shoes. I actually bought another pair of insoles, and I still had the same problem. So it seemed like it would get really annoying at the festival, and I had this genius idea to somehow glue them or tape them to the inside of my shoes. I ended up getting Gorilla Glue branded duct tape, and voila, my problem was solved. So cut to the festival, everything's going great. I'm getting more steps in than any Bonnaroo before. It's Friday and I'm at Grizz's DJ set and I'm trying to meet up with a few of my friends. I find a chill spot and I kind of think to myself, you know, it might feel good to slip my shoes off and just let my feet kind of breathe. So I do, I dance around for a while and eventually I go to put them back on. And that is when I realized something is wrong. I grabbed a sneaker, and immediately I noticed this black goo on my fingers. So I use my phone flashlight, and I see that each sneaker is filled with the stickiest black goo-like substance from the duct tape. It was sticking to everything, and it looked like it was in the Venom movies or something. So, I guess all my walking in the Tennessee heat had completely melted the tape and turned it into, like, tar. And I tried to rip out the insoles. I was just making everything worse and covering myself in this goo. And my bottle of hand sanitizer was not doing shit. So, I just started walking, planning to go back to camp and try to fix it there. But oh my god, I was not going to make it to camp. My feet were dying walking over the gravel and crap without any shoes. So that's how I found myself buying the most expensive pair of bamboo woven sandals in my life. They were the only shoes I could find in Center Room. $80 and a somewhat less painful walk back to camp later. I was able to salvage my sneakers enough to wear them the rest of the weekend. I had to, like, soak my hands in a ridiculous amount of hand sanitizer, and I got maybe 80% of the goo off. But I just had black goo over my hands and arms and ankles for the rest of the festival. There's actually still some left on the fanny pack I was wearing to this day. So yeah, that was the Great Rue Shoe Goo Disaster of 23. Other than that, it was a great Bonnaroo, probably my favorite actually. So yeah, hope you enjoyed. See ya.
Yeah, that Gorilla Groove is nothing to screw around with.
No, so lesson there, and we'll do a full show on do's and don'ts.
Do's, don'ts, yeah.
Later, but take care of your feet is
whatever
the
you yeah. do. There. Take care of your shoes.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought about when I heard this. I thought, oh, this is like that fish song.
Yeah. Just got an email from Brad who just hung up.
Yep, I was looking at it too.
Yeah.
As soon as he hung up, he got news that Matt Pinfield is responsive after his stroke, and looks like the headline says he'll be DJing once again. So good news.
Yeah, and I've got other friends that are at least acquaintances with Matt Pinfield. He's also a lifelong substance of alcohol mostly, but others a abuser and in recovery, and he's. His story of health is just very interesting as well. Matt's and the fact that he's even knows what the show is, let alone likes it, is certainly cool. So I was definitely cool. Going there. Thanks for bringing that up, Barry.
Yeah. So Matt, if you're able to listen and hear this, yay.
We're pulling for you.
We love you, and we'd love to have you on the show sometime.
Oh,
that'd be cool, right?
Watched you all the time on MTV back in the day.
What all was right. it? 120 minutes.
Yeah, he did a lot of different things, but he was definitely on 120 shows, minutes for a few minutes, yeah.
All right, guys, long episode, and we've got more to come. I put on our Discord our next month or so. We've got some cool guests lined up, so I'm very excited.
Yes,
we
do.
I'm excited about this one. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. What else, guys?
I think we've covered it all for 1 week.
I think that's a lot. Yeah, make sure you subscribe.
I want to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame eventually. It doesn't have to be. It's not today. We're done.
But we
need to discuss this from a what are we even doing here at standpoint? Yeah, we'll do that soon enough.
It's the worst list I've ever seen. So.
Well, I'm not quite there, but we'll talk about it down the road soon.
All right. Love you guys.
See
Thanks
you guys.
For listening. Bye.